Welcome to Focused on Life, where we'll be laser focused on all things that have to do with defending human dignity, human rights, and yes, human life at every stage and phase of development. I am your host, Uju.
And I am your other host, Matt.
And we are thrilled to be here today. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Uju. How are you today?
I am doing very well, Matt. Thinking about it, this is June, the month of June. I love the month of June.
Yeah, the month of June, our favorite month of the year, because
it's the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
That's right. Were you thinking the same thing, folks? For those of you listening, the month of June is the Sacred Heart of Jesus month.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful month for Christians. And but at the same time, Uju, we were just talking before we started recording.
Yeah.
This month is also very special to you.
Yes, well, and I am hoping not just to me, but to other Christians when they think about it. I think that, and I heard somebody else had mentioned, this is the month of martyrs. And in a way, it is true, because if you're Catholic, on the 1st of June, we celebrate the feast of Saint Justin Martyr, who is one of the earlier writers and philosophers of the church, very much renowned, who has given a great legacy to Christian faith. I mean, he was writing and working in Christian realms as far back as within the first 100 years after the death of Christ. So he left us a huge legacy and helped to preserve what we have today as our Christian traditions. So he was martyred on the very 1st of June. At least that is when it is, that's when we remember him. But also one of the last days of June, 29th of June, more precisely, is the feast day of Saints Peter and Paul, two of, let's say, the biggest, most renowned saints of the church. And both of them were martyred. And then, of course, here we have that feast fixed on that day, 29th of June, finishing off this great month of June. But for me, which is what you alluded to, Matt, I love the month of June for martyrs, because a couple of years ago, I had the privilege of going out to Uganda to Namugongo, which is, anybody who knows about the martyrs of Uganda, that is where they are celebrated. That's where a church has been put up. So that was where they were martyred. This is about 22 saints, very young people. In fact, there were maybe one or two girls, but mostly young men, who were killed in the year 1886 because they were standing for the faith, precisely for sexual morality and for sexual purity. Because, I mean, the stories have it that at the time, most of these boys, they were page boys for the king. And at the time, people said that he was making some homosexual advances towards them. And these boys rejected him. And at the time, they were taking catechesis and they were trying to become Christians. And they weren't Christians before. Of course, at this time, they were being Christianized. And all of a sudden, they were putting up strong resistance to this king, even though there were seven boys. So they were martyred in the most brutal way. And I can tell you, Matt, when I went on this journey, I'll call it a pilgrimage, in fact, because I was there during that week of the Ugandan martyrs. And the feast day is the 3rd of June, but I think I went out there as early as the last day of May. And I was there from the 1st of June, 2nd of June, 3rd of June, and made the whole pilgrimage, going from church to church to different places where these young boys suffered. So I love the month of June because it's the month when I think that Christians should learn how to be strong, how to be fortified in the faith, how to speak up for all that is right. But also, we do know that as long as you are not living under a rock, anybody who isn't living under a rock knows that for many, many years now, let's say the last 10 years, the month of June has been known for something else.
What is that? I like to call it, it's been known for the sin, one of the deadly sins, the sin of pride. Yes, you've heard it, Pride Month, LGBT Month, Pride Awareness Month, all these
rainbow,
different terms.
The Rainbow Flag,
all these different terms. And we're not going to get into too many details about our position on that. I think that's very well known if you've listened to our previous podcasts.
Yeah.
But what we were talking about is it's over the past few years, it's been getting so crazy when it comes to Pride Month with all the marches and the Pride
Yes.
festivals and the indoctrination that's happening in schools,
And the
even
companies,
at the
Matt, I mean,
company
these
level, corporations.
multi-billion-dollar
That's right. It's
corporations.
in music, it's in advertising, it's in movies and shit everywhere. And yet, for some reason, you and I were just talking about this the other day as we were getting ready for this episode. Like, I
This year,
feel like
nothing is happening.
nothing,
I don't.
it's been quite tame the past few weeks on that front.
Crickets, crickets. I can't hear anything. It's almost like the people who were changing all their icons on the smartphone to be rainbow colored and all of that. I have hardly seen anything, man. Maybe because I haven't gone out much. I don't know. Someone tell me. But I wanted to confirm that with you, and you said to me, "Yep, it's the same on your end as well." We haven't really heard much happening in this month. So is the pride fizzling out?
Is the pride fizzling out? Perhaps that's a really good a good topic for another discussion. But I do think, like you mentioned, all the companies and all the big corporations and all the big brands, they always would change their logo to reflect like a rainbow colored logo on their social media platforms. They haven't been doing that this year. At least I haven't seen it to be done as aggressively as in previous years. But then, like, that got me thinking, perhaps these big multinational international companies are realizing that the money they're spending on DEI programs and ESG programs and all these expectations that they've been having and these incentives, it's just not worth it anymore. At the end of the day, they're not making any more money from this. The return on investment is not as advertised. And I
Yeah, it's
think
just not coming.
it's not coming. And at the end of the day, it's about money. It's about money. And if they don't see the money coming in, they're not going to do it again. So I do hope this continues. And so that the corporate world
Fizzle, fizzle.
it just fizzles out and it drops this whole LGBT celebration indoctrination. But the truth is it's still very much present in our schools, in the media, in government. I mean, every government. I don't know about you, Uju, but Justin
Same.
Trudeau, this is his favorite month of the year, and not for the reasons that we mentioned earlier. This is his favorite month of the year because it's all about the rainbow colors. And it's not even rainbow anymore. Have you seen the latest progress flag, by the way?
No, I
They
haven't,
keep adding new
and
things, new colors,
is
new shades, new signs and symbols.
it?
The new flag now has all the rainbow colors and what they used to have, and now they have like the browns, the whites, the pinks, the
Pinks,
grays.
okay.
There's a yellow triangle with a purple circle now. I don't even know what any of this stuff means anymore. I don't even know if anyone knows what any of this stuff means anymore.
That's probably why people are getting tired, man, because each year it's almost like they keep pushing territories and keep pushing territories. And people, they keep adding alphabets, adding colors to the rainbow, adding alphabets to the title. So, and anybody who isn't matching on those lines, anybody who brings out the old rainbow flag or the old pride flag, if I could call it that, and then they are trashed by their own side. So
Yeah.
I think even within their movement, I believe that there is some lack of enthusiasm or loss of enthusiasm happening. And who knows, maybe God is working in some quiet ways as well, or maybe the saints are praying for us and the martyrs are praying for us, you know. So
That's
who
right.
knows what is going on, but everything I think is seen in as is seen best in perspective of time. So let's say within the next 100 years, 50 years, 100 years, okay, the Ugandan matters was as far back as 1886 at the time when it was happening. I'm sure it was all like, these boys are stupid, they're all 17, 18, why don't you just give in and live another day, right? But they wouldn't. And now this is like more than 100 years later. If I think it's 120 years later, that they are now being remembered for their courage and this and the you know the how they kept up the faith. So probably what is going on now, I mean, we have seen the madness of the last 10 years and we've all felt immersed in it. But in the long run, Matt, 10 years is really not much. Maybe this is going to be a blip in history where, gosh, maybe we come back to some common sense and some reasonable thinking once again. But coming to common sense, something happened in Canada, something massive, I'd say in Canada, but more specifically at a Catholic school board where you also reside. So can you tell me about it, about this common sense thing that happened? It
Yes,
has to
so
also do with the June month of June.
that's right. Common sense prevailed in a big way, actually, because I did mention how about this indoctrination that's taking over the schools, and it's been something that parents, I think, Uju, parents and families, grandparents, I think everyone's finally woken up to the situation in our schools. And it's not just publicly funded, I mean, all publicly funded schools, obviously, but it's also the Catholic schools, the Christian schools. In Canada, or in Ontario at least, public schools are Catholic publicly funded schools. And for that reason, the excuse that we always get from the school administrators and the educators is that we have to just go along with whatever the government tells us to do, which is obviously wrong. But they've been doing this for the last decade. And now it's coming back to bite them in a big way because parents are waking up, they're realizing, why are my children or why are my, my why is my 5 or 6 year old child walking around with a rainbow flag doing an LGBT parade around the school, right? Why is my child, when they're singing the national anthem as they do every morning in class, why are they facing the Canadian flag and the rainbow flag that's next to the Canadian flag now? Why are they singing the anthem to the LGBT flag? Is that what's
In a
happening?
Catholic
In a Catholic
school.
school, in public schools, they have anything. Anyways, it's been all these things have been happening. There's been a parental uprising, and we've talked about this, I think, in previous episodes. We had the Million Man March that kind of took over Canada,
That's
in
right.
large parts thanks to our Muslim brothers and sisters, because they're really the ones carrying the torch. But at the same time, at Camp In Life, we organized walkouts. So in last year was our first year. This year we did it again, and you had hundreds, if not thousands, of parents keeping their kids home for the first week of June, which is usually the week when they kind of raise the flag and all that stuff. And at the school board level, you have school board after school board changing their flag policies to allow for the flying of the LGBT homosexual flag. Okay? And this is something we've been fighting on many fronts in different school boards. And Uju, just this week, the school board, the second largest Catholic school board in Ontario, and I would say one of the largest in Canada,
Of course.
Decided the trustees, there's about 10 of them, I think, or not, or 11 maybe. Anyways, doesn't matter. The trustees, after a heated debate, after a heated battle, and a lot of pressure from the mob, the LGBT mob, the trustees actually caved to the parental rights request, the parents, who also appeared in great numbers. And we kind of became the mob as well, Uju. I turned to one of my colleagues and I said, "Hey, are we the mob now?" Because there were so many of us parents saying no to this. And in the end, the trustees voted against amending their flag policy. So the pride flag is not flying in any school or any school board building this month, which is a
How many
huge victory.
schools? How many
Oh,
schools
we're talking
affected by
about
this?
over 100 schools, I think, and maybe over 20 high
Wow.
schools. This board has over 80,000 students,
Oh
okay?
man, this is
This
huge,
is huge.
huge,
Although I
huge.
have to say, the battle is, it's, we won one battle, but the war is still going on because this is a policy that ensures that the any kind of flag post or pole outside of any school, it can only fly the Canadian flag or the provincial flag, or if there are second poles, then maybe you can fly like a Vatican flag or a liturgical flag, which is great,
Because
right?
it's a Catholic
That's
school.
right.
It is a
But
Catholic
the
school,
problem is, teachers, principals, they still have the power to bring those flags and bring the propaganda into the classroom.
into the classrooms,
And
which we see a
that's
lot of,
which
actually.
we
We
see a
see a
lot
lot.
of. So that's a huge issue. So we have to celebrate this vote, this victory, because it really is a victory. And way to go. Like, big thank you to all the trustees who decided to do the right
Wonderful.
thing and vote for Catholic education. But the next battle now is, okay, schools aren't flying the flags outside, so the scandal to the rest of the community is not there. It's been avoided. But now the scandal
But the
continues,
propaganda
the propaganda
in.
continues within the schools. So yeah, but it's the first step. And this is the
It is a
second school board
plus.
that did this. The Toronto school board, which is the largest one in Canada, they kind of caved a few years ago, and it's been
Yeah.
brutal. And the stories we've been hearing from teachers who are
Wow.
saying, I can't even speak up because I'm afraid for my job.
Wow.
Or moms and dads calling us and emailing us saying, you know, I wanted to exempt my kid, pull the kid out from school on this and this day. And then the principal says, you're not allowed to do that because when it comes to human rights issues and diversity issues, you are
Wow.
not allowed to pull your kid out of school. This is happening in Catholic schools, Uju.
This is terrible. But Matt, this, as you say, this goes to show the size of victory you've had and the importance of the victory.
Huge.
Yes, it looks like, okay, one battle won. The war continues. One step, only one step has been taken, but Matt, it is one necessary step because you really cannot fight the propaganda within the classrooms if you have not first gotten rid of the ability of this school to scandalize the public or
That's
to
it.
misinform the public. So, well done.
Yeah, I think, I mean, praise be to God, and well done
Thank
to all the
God.
parents, all the grandparents, everyone who emailed and contacted their trustees, and just all the parents in general. Like I said, they are waking up. They have had enough of this. And
But that shows that all that work works, doesn't
you know
it?
what, Uju, the beautiful thing about that particular meeting is there were about five delegations, so five people speaking, giving statements to the trustees before the vote. And every single one of them, including my colleague Josie, who's obviously one of our Camping Life Coalition employees,
Very good.
they focus specifically on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And
Oh,
Jesus is the sign, is the ultimate sign of inclusion. The
yes,
cross
for
is the
sure.
ultimate sign of inclusion.
For
If you
sure.
have problems, if you're going through anything, if you feel left out, if you're being bullied, if you don't know who you are, if you're trying to find yourself, go
True.
to Christ. And
That's
he will
it.
reveal himself to you in the
That's
biggest
it.
way, and he will allow you, and when I say that, I mean he will love you, he will show you his
Yes,
mercy,
true.
he will change and transform your heart to the point where you will no longer need, or you may not have the same
You wouldn't need a
questions.
flag to confirm
You don't need a
anything to
flag
you,
to
for
confirm
goodness
anything,
sake.
because he says, I see you, you are a human being with dignity, you have value, you have worth, I
Absolutely,
love you.
absolutely.
And that's why, and speaker after speaker said these things, okay? But the trustees who were they were like activists
They
with this
won the
LGBT.
flag,
The crazy thing is, Uju, they also said, they used things like, they said things like, Jesus is love. He wants us to love everyone. See how they twist it. It's not
True.
about love here. It's about pushing a specific agenda on these kids
Agenda,
and on the
that is
schools,
true.
because they think, oh, if we don't show the flag, kids are going to kill themselves or they're going to die.
But
Give
they
me a
won't, though.
break.
They
Give me a break.
won't. All of this has been introduced in the last couple of years,
That's right.
and
And you know what?
it got worse and
Yeah.
worse up
And
until this
if a
point.
child is struggling, go to Jesus and the church
True.
and the schools. And I mean, I have to say this to I understand where maybe some of their anger or like where they're coming from, because can the church and can Catholic schools do a better job at welcoming kids who are confused, who have questions? Can they do a better job at really accompanying them and kind of
Accompany them
leading
and
them to Jesus?
consoling them, yes, and
Of course
helping
they
them
can.
heal.
100%. So we have to do a better job of doing that. But this is about leading kids to Jesus, leading kids to the truth, and not leading kids kind of like holding their hand as they commit horrible mistakes and sins, and kind of leading them in a path that will lead them to a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And yeah,
While
so.
still carrying the label of Catholic
Yes,
education, this is the problem.
that's the confusing part.
This is it. It's like if your child is here for Catholic education, this is what you're gonna get as Catholic education. It's the true love of Jesus, the committing children to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, where it's most loving, where we get the most peace, the most consolation. So where is all this propaganda coming from? It's coming from the world.
It's coming
It
from the world. And
is coming from the world.
you know what? One thing, just to close on this, because I know we have a few other issues we want to touch on. There are three kind of like student trustee positions at this board. So they can't vote, but they're there as representing the student population. And one of them was not there, but two of them, of course, they completely went along with the LGBT stuff. And one of them, even like after one of the delegations, talked about the catechism and the church's teaching on homosexuality, you know, this one student trustee asks a question as if like she wanted to kind of stump him and kind of put him on the spot. And she says, "Where in the Bible does it say that homosexuality is wrong?" Right? And the whole crowd of parents just kind of we all just laughed. We weren't laughing at her, but we just like, oh, this is the product of the Catholic system right now, that you have a young person who doesn't even know scripture, doesn't even know, and it's so sad. It's so sad, right? And it's like, man, I wanted to just, I mean, she actually was she was joining the meeting virtually, so, but oh my gosh, how much I would love to just speak to her and send her to like a youth group or like a
Yeah,
Bible
like
study,
a good youth group,
just
isn't
to say, hey, this is what your faith teaches. Why don't we learn about it together, you know? But anyhow, that's it's a huge
Well done,
victory,
man.
huge
It's
victory, Uju, and
victory,
praise God for
victory.
that.
Yeah.
And
But
now,
then, yeah, something bad happened on the.
sorry, folks, this isn't going to be all good news today. But
It's just, yeah, to respond to something else that happened in another part of Canada, Manitoba, the province of Manitoba.
so
And it's happened not only in Canada, I must say, but here in Scotland, in the UK, Scotland specifically, a few days ago as well, something happened again, another type of storm that is kind of ravaging cities and countries from from every one part of the West to the other, and that is the abortion bubble zone. So in Canada, something happened in Manitoba. Would you explain about the
yes,
bubble zone? First, tell us what the bubble zone, because some of the listeners may not really understand what a bubble zone is, but explain just a bit what an abortion bubble zone is.
abortion bubble zones, or we like to call them anti-pro-life speech zones, are essentially a lot of pro-abortion politicians. They're introducing these, they usually call them like the Safe Access to Abortion Act, or you know, things like that. And what they are is they essentially make it a crime to stand outside of an abortion facility or a hospital where abortions are being committed, holding a sign, holding like a choose life sign. They want to make it illegal for sidewalk counselors to inform women in that final hour before they make the biggest mistake of their life. It also is illegal to just stand there within like a 50 meters or even up to 150 meter bubble zone, to stand there with like a pro-life t-shirt. Or even just to stand there and pray silently, you know, in the in Manitoba, and now Manitoba now joins like Ontario, British Columbia, Alberta, and Quebec, who have all passed these bubble zone laws. Essentially, in Manitoba, and it's very similar to all the other provinces, it's becoming it's a, now a crime to advise or even just inform women on any abortion-related issue. Okay, this is nuts. This isn't about.
Crazy.
This isn't so it's not even about stopping women from having an abortion. It's about not even giving women the information about the abortion that they're about to have, right? And you know, but I have to say, before we move on to the Scotland situation that you're going to talk about, Uju, I have to give it, I have to, you know, compliment this one member of Legislative Assembly, this MLA in Manitoba. And Hani Fontaine, she's been a politician for many years, and she's a pro-abortion politician. And I got to give it to her, like she has been on this case for like her whole time in office. I think this was the third or fourth, maybe even the fifth time she introduced a bubble zone piece of legislation. It never passed because there was never they were always like a minority in the minority party. But last year they won the majority in the House, so this was the first thing she introduced.
See,
Because she knew like this is her chance.
this is
So
it. Her wish list.
it's like she has been relentless in pursuing this. And I think to myself, Uju, have you ever met a conservative member of parliament or a politician who has been this relentless in being so clear
Pro-life.
about their position? Like, we want to protect life. We want to make sure that the right to life is protected. Children are not killed. We will introduce bill after bill after bill after bill. Even if it fails, I will keep doing it and doing it. That's what she's been doing for the other side. And I have to give it to her, like kudos to her for having
Mad.
that conviction because we don't
Yeah.
see that in, on our side of the fence.
No. And Matt, honestly, if I can refer to something that this reminds me of something that happened in the scriptures. Anytime I give a speech or I'm speaking, especially when it's like at a church or like a, Catholic school or Catholic university, I always bring up this Bible story and I tell people, have you ever thought of what was happening in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of Gethsemane? You know which night I'm talking about. Yes, the night that they came and grabbed Jesus while he was there in the garden. And then he was taken away, and that was the beginning of the Passion of Christ, right? So if you think about it, he went with the three closest people to him, and he told them to just stay and pray. It's not like he didn't say, he said, stay here and pray. Okay, I'm in distress. This is a really bad time for me. Just pray with me. So just 1 hour, pray. And by the time he came out, they were sleeping. Okay, he told them, woke them up again and said, pray. And then he went out to pray. And then he came back and they were sleeping. To cut the long story short, at the end of the day, they were still sleeping. And he woke up and said, you're still sleeping. Well, it's time. And my enemies are here. If you think about it, there was one person who was not sleeping that night, and that was Judas. If Judas had the same kind of sleeping pills that these people had, he could have fallen asleep and not met up with the people that were to give him the 30 pieces of silver. But he made that appointment. He was wide awake, whatever coffee he was drinking. He was wide awake, the same type of person, the same apostle. They all went out to have dinner together. So it's not like his schedule was different before that. He had the exact same schedule with the other apostles, but he is the one apostle who did not fall asleep. He met up with his appointment. He was early. He was on time. He did what he promised he was going to do. He collected the payment and he walked away. So this reminds me of it, Matt. On the one side is the people who have all the wonderful intentions, our wonderful conservative politicians in whatever Western country I have been to. I have seen them in the UK. I have seen them in the United States. And of course, I have seen them in Canada. I have seen them in Slovakia, any country where I have worked. I've seen them in Ireland. Our wonderful conservative politicians, they mean well. And they come out and they make us all kinds of promises. Sometimes they come to pro-life events, or they come to the March for Life, and they'll make these the beautiful speeches. And we love them. We do love them, Matt. You know these people. We love them. But then when you see them in action, maybe they try one thing and they fail. Or when they try something and it doesn't work, many times you see them shying away. We are almost begging them to please try again. Let's, next time it's going to work. But they always tend to have a bit of that slowness or reluctance when they fail in something. Even when they are speaking out for life, sometimes they are just nowhere near as zealous as the people who are on the abortion side. But the abortion side, they are there, they drink the coffee, they come out. They meet all the appointments and then they try.
They're
It
not
fails.
sleeping. They don't fall asleep.
No, they
They don't fall
go,
asleep.
they collect the 30 pieces of silver from all the IPPS and all the abortion organizations or whoever is behind them, even though they have failed, they go collect their payment, and then next time they're coming back again. Next time they are more zealous. They are more. I mean, if you tell them we're going to give you only one chance to choose the one bill you're going to pass, they will not pick up. Let's build a free school in my county. Let's do some free food or for the poor. Let's help women come. Be able to get their prenatal care. They are not going to ask for any of those things on their wish list. There's only one thing on their wish list, and that is abortion. We have one of those, actually, one or two of those in the British Parliament. The one I remember very well now is Stella Creasy, MP. She has been there for many years. She is also kind of youngish. She had her first baby quite late in life, and that was maybe last year or the year before. She had her baby, and she brought her baby to Parliament. She's carrying this baby, newly born, and she's asking for a bubble zone or something that has to do with abortion.
That's
They
nuts.
don't
That's
rest.
crazy. They don't rest.
They don't rest.
And you know, Uju, like, first of all, I have never heard, it's the first time I've heard the Gethsemane metaphor symbolism.
That one
Did
came from me.
write that, Uju? Did you write that? No.
honestly, I was in prayer and I came up with this. I'm telling you, I've said this like maybe like four or five years. Anytime I go to give a speech and at a pro-life
You know why?
event.
Now I know why. It's because usually when I go to one of your talks, I'm just sleeping in the corner. That's the
No,
problem.
Matt, you're probably outside helping people get their cars parked.
But just to close on this, I think that it's awesome what you said, and that makes so much sense. And I'm gonna steal that. Although I will probably say, oh, my friend Uju came up with this, but anyhow, the thing about these politicians, not only are they not sleeping, how often have you heard politicians from the pro-abortion side who talk about how the reason I entered politics, the reason why I'm here is to do this, X, Y, and Z.
True.
This is the reason. You know how people enter politics because they want to change the world and make it a better place? This is them, in their minds, this is how they will make the world a better place because this is their focus. It's their goal. It's not about taxes. It's not about carbon tax or foreign policy or whatever. It's about abortion.
It is.
And it's the same thing you see in some of the members of parliament in Canada or other politicians around the world who are trying to push all this LGBT indoctrination. They will tell you the reason why I ran for office is to, it's for LGBT issues and human rights and all this stuff.
And they are serious.
And they
Like
are
they are
serious about this.
zealous, even if
Exactly.
they Even if someone tells them, if you vote this way tomorrow, we're going to vote against you and you're leaving Parliament, they still go ahead and do it.
They're still going to do
They
it.
still go ahead and do it. But our people are the most careful. Our people are always like, I'm just being careful so that next year we'll come back again. But this is it. This is the story of, Peter, James, and John, who went and were falling asleep, and Judas, who just the one person who could meet up all appointments in the middle of the night when
In
he's
the middle
supposed
of
to
the
be
night,
sleeping.
and he still did it.
And he still did it, collected 30 pieces of silver and walked away.
So the same thing happened in Scotland, the same bubble zone law passed, but in Scotland there's an interesting twist because it appears that everyone voted for it except for
One person.
one person. Can you talk a little bit about the whole Scotland
So,
situation?
something actually led up to that, Matt. So a couple of years ago, we started hearing about this bubble zone in the UK. They call it the Public Space Protection Order. So a lot of times, or in a lot of situations, if you can imagine, a local government or a local council, it actually has the right to pass a law or pass a resolution locally to stop disturbance, public disturbance. So I'll give you an example. Say, people who are intoxicated, sometimes you find these people there maybe on drugs, on alcohol, and they fall on the streets, or they that's taken to be intrusive on public life or on public space. So this is one of the things actually that a local government can pass a resolution to stop people from getting drunk, taking drugs and all whatnot, and being a nuisance to society. So now, for some reason, maybe about 10 years ago, we started hearing politicians, abortion zealots within parliament, now finding a connection between the ability to pass a public space protection order with praying outside an abortion clinic. And mind you, in the UK, the majority of what we had were just people standing praying silently on the curb. In the UK, I mean, these are the pro-life movement, I say here, they're very holy and calm, and they don't want to offend anybody. This is the UK. It's not like, I know in the United States, we've had cases where people were actually trying to block off entry into abortion facilities, for good reason, because children are being killed in those places. But in the most cases here, it's all about just praying, most times even silently, witnessing, as you mentioned before, very, very peacefully outside abortion facilities. So now the abortion zealots within politics found a way to say, okay, to pray outside an abortion clinic, in fact, is equivalent to being drunk or being intoxicated in public. Mind you, in the UK, you are still very much allowed to go on the street outside somebody's door by the curb and play your guitar as loud as you want and sing and preach and you know, okay, even the preaching, they're also trying to bring in this public safety protection order to be related to that. So they started it with the abortion clinics and now they're also trying to link it to like preaching the gospel on the streets. So but the UK is a place where freedom, you know, freedom to speak out publicly or to use the public space is something that I'd say there's a very good let's say allowance for it. So if you want, you can I can take my guitar and go to the streets and start singing and stuff. And I am protected by law to do that as long as I'm not standing on anybody's property. And obviously that's how the pro-life people during the 40 Days for Life campaign, during any kind of pro-life prayer chain, we are able to stand outside an abortion clinic and pray peacefully and try to offer information to women if they want to talk to us. And you know, just knowing how to stand within a safe space or within a safe distance from the person so that it's not like you're trying to obstruct the person or anything, and then offer good information. For years we've done that. And yet they were able to then say, yeah, you can actually we will link it to that. It's a nuisance to even have anybody praying standing outside an abortion clinic or near an abortion facility. 150 meters was what was given. So one or two local councils were able to pass it in the London area. Ealing, for example, passed it years ago. And then next thing, a year ago, 2 years ago, it was following COVID, Bournemouth passed it, which is a big area, so a big county. Bournemouth passed it, and then Birmingham passed it. If anybody would remember what happened, I believe it was starting last year. One of my good friends, Isabel, who is one of the co-founders of the March for Life UK, she was standing outside an abortion clinic where, in fact, I have been at that abortion clinic on a number of occasions where she asked me to go and pray outside this abortion clinic. This was in the past. She was standing there praying silently. Okay, she was not holding up any sign. She had both hands in her pocket, and the police was called. And the policewoman asked her, "Are you praying in your hat?" She said, "I might be," and she ended up being arrested. This is what it means to have a public safety protection order. That's the kind of right it gives, which is a scary thing, really. This is the kind of right it gives to the police or to the authorities. So it's to make sure that the pro-life, anything pro-life, is completely deleted, completely effaced from anywhere around an abortion facility. So that, but these are local governments. These are like smaller areas. Of course, the Birmingham area, which was last year, passed last year, that was a bigger area, and of course, with many abortion facilities out there. Now, Scotland is the first time we have the biggest area. Mind you, everything I've named now are small, or well, now Birmingham is big, Bournemouth is big. These are bigger areas. But now, Scotland has 32 or 33 counties. It is huge. Scotland is almost like a mini country, in a sense of speaking. They do have their own local parliament as well, the Scottish Parliament. So the MSPs, the members of the Scottish Parliament, voted 118 to 1, in favor of having this same kind of, well, they called theirs SAZ, the Safe Access Zone resolution or bill, and they have now passed it as a bill. So it's now the first time, I'd say, a country or a nation-like area in the UK is passing this. And what they are aiming for, Matt, is they are aiming for a national, because that's what the abortion zealots within the British Parliament, the House of Commons, Stella Creasy leading them, is pointing to, you know, places like Scotland now. They'll be pointing to a place like Scotland to say, if Scotland can do it, well, so can England, right? And England, of course, is a majority of the country. Of course, there's Wales, which is not that many counties. So this is what we have been greeted by. This only happened either on the 12th of June. So it just happened 12th of June, I think this the bill passed in the Scottish Parliament, but it spells all kinds of miserable things for the entire pro-life movement, because if they if they can manage to do this, what would this then mean for the entire pro-life community? What would it mean for like something like a March for Life campaign? What would it mean? Because it's 150 meters. You can't we cannot be anywhere near 150 meters with any pro-life message. If we are marching for life, how are we going to be able to march through London and not pass 150 meters to any abortion facility, right? So it's a very sad, that was a very sad day for Scotland, but also for the entire United Kingdom, because if Scotland has set the pace or has set an example, they have managed overwhelmingly to pass this SAZ, the Safer Access Zone, bubble zone, anti pro-life zone. They have now, I think they have now set something in motion, something very dangerous in motion, which could lead to tyrannical ends if we're not even allowed to pray in our hearts, in our minds, near an abortion clinic. Where does this leave the pro-life movement?
Well, I think, thank you for that, Uju, by the way. That was a good history lesson because I didn't know how the whole bubble zone situation, how it started in the little counties, and it's kind of been growing from there. But, I think it's not, and we've seen this situation in Canada as well. I know, I don't know if in the States, do they have any states with bubble zones? I'm not sure.
I think
But
there are.
there is, it is sweeping across the world. It's not
It
just,
is the
it,
Western
the
world, the
Western world, it's
Western
sweeping
world.
across the Western world, and I think it's about making sure that women don't have access to the truth about abortion. Because again, it's about free speech. It's about they don't want pro-lifers to tell the truth to women. They want to keep the women away from the truth as far as possible, and they want to just to have the women and all these moms and people and women in crisis to just kind of have like a one path, one lane all the way to the abortion facility without any stops, without any breaks, without anyone to tell them, hey, are you sure you want to do this? Here's some other information. We'll help you along the way. No, they just want the women to go into the abortion facility, kill their babies, leave, and then come back again whenever they need to. And that's the situation we're dealing with. So
Awful.
that's some pretty bad news. It's a sad day in Scotland and all of the UK. It's a sad day in Manitoba and all of Canada, really. And I think as we start to kind of close up this particular episode, Uju, I think we're gonna go. We're gonna since we're talking about the global world, the world, and all these bubble zones popping up all around the world in the Western world. Let's talk about what's happening in a particular African nation, and again, the UK and Canada is very much involved. And what else? Who else is involved? Well, IPAS is involved, and IPAS is a multi. It's an international abortion organization that has an operating budget of hundreds of millions of dollars,
From taxpayers.
and from taxpayers, from Canadian taxpayers and UK
You
taxpayers, European
and
Union,
United States,
United States. And what are they doing in the
in
Congo, Uju?
DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo. So a couple of weeks ago, something had happened, and the members of cabinet came together, and the Minister of Gender and Family and Children, she launched a draft of states reporting on the implementation of the Maputo Protocol. Anybody who knows the Maputo Protocol, or you might not know about the Maputo Protocol, just briefly, it's just this document that was put together and passed by the African Union years ago now. I think it may have been 2006 or thereabout. It's a long time ago. And countries one by one have been adopting it, ratifying it, you know, so there are different levels and stages with it. But the document was largely about the rights of the African women, the human rights being applied to the African woman. So a lot of it has to do with things like women's education, women being able to inherit property, women being treated well in society, being treated equally in society. But then, of course, right there, as we know, anytime that this kind of thing is being put together, Matt, the abortion zealots who are so good somehow, you know, it seems as if we've been praising them in this episode, but honestly, it's not praising them.
People are
We're
gonna
just
wonder.
in, we are in awe of their techniques. That something about human rights, something that really should have been good, is then seen as an opportunity to slip in right there, because of course they're talking about women's health as well. They slip it in, you know, Article 14 right there. You would have read almost the entire document to see all the good things before you then hit on the fact where you see that they're trying to bring in legal abortion to the different African countries by saying that the woman should be allowed to have access to abortion for purposes of life and health. And of course, everybody knows what abortion for the sake of health means. It's a huge loophole, which could mean just about anything. Now,
Abortion on demand, essentially.
yeah, exactly. So, but a lot of countries put in objections to it. People, of course, kind of ignored it, even though the Maputo Protocol was largely accepted by different African countries. But people put in their objections to it and their reluctance to accept that part of the document. So it has been kind of status quo, you know. The Maputo Protocol, they made so much effort trying to slip it in there that at the end of the day, it almost seemed not worth the money, because it's there, whereas it's in that document, but all the countries are still kind of getting on with their pro-life laws, you know, restricting abortion and all whatnot. So we have kind of been there, and not many of the African countries are kind of respecting or obeying that part. And of course, the abortion movement has used it, especially the international abortion organizations have been pointing to the Maputo Protocol. This is always what they use in lamenting the African countries. They will say, for example, look at how you did not obey or do exactly what the Article 14 of the Maputo Protocol says, because the women are supposed to get this, that, and the other, in the case of health and in the case of, you know, psychological well-being and all whatnot.
And
So,
Uju,
but
if I could just interrupt here, it's funny that you say that because do you think all these groups are pointing to all the other articles that deal with genuine women's needs? No,
nope.
they're only saying you're not following Article 14. That's the
Yeah.
only, because that's
That
all they
is the
care about.
scripture.
That's
That is
it.
the memory verse in the Maputo Protocol, I must tell you, Matt, because nobody, literally nobody, you know, of these organizations is out there fighting that women should really be able to inherit lands when their parents die. Women should actually be able to, a widow should be able to gain access to the property of her husband when that happens. So, and in many countries, let me just say it, many countries are still far away from getting these things to be reality or getting these things to be the real rights of the woman. It's still very difficult in some of the areas, even where I come from, for women to inherit what we call landed property. So if, say, somebody's father dies, it is very, very hard for a woman to be able to inherit successfully without anybody objecting to it, the landed property of your father or your husband, without having a son who can inherit that for you. So there's a lot of the Maputo Protocol that nobody talks about, nobody is fighting over, but the Article 14 has become a thing. They take it all the way to the United Nations. If you are listening, sometimes when the resolution is being discussed, they always bring out or bring up the Maputo Protocol. They use it to criticize African politicians. They use it to disgrace them, to name and shame them. You know, it's like, yeah, look, you didn't do this thing in the Maputo Protocol. Anyway, so a couple of weeks ago, the Minister of Gender and Family and Children launched a draft of the state to report on the implementation of the Maputo Protocol. And she then specifically gave a shout out to this Article 14, saying that yes, women should have access to abortion when they need it in cases of health and this, that, and the other. So exactly as the Maputo Protocol wanted it. The interesting thing that I noted about this, and this was why I highlighted this article and sent it to you, Matt, is because this particular country, the DRC, is one of the countries where the Canadian government, your foreign affairs ministry, has specific interests in, because they've been providing funds, under their feminist international policy, feminist friendly international policy. They have had DRC as their poster child. Another article I had sent to you some weeks ago was also something happening in DRC about abortion. They were trying to raise some debate about how women abortion should be destigmatized, and they're taking this to the villages. So there seems to be a lot of chatter, Matt, about bringing in abortion into public discourse in Democratic Republic of Congo, bringing it up again and again. If there's any politician speaking about anything, it has to be put in there. So, but it's interesting that it's happening at the same time that the Canadian government is having interest in DRC. They're talking about DRC. They are going to DRC. You yourself sent me some article a couple of months ago about your minister going to DRC to inspect, to
To do an
see.
inspection of how their abortion is progressing, their whole abortion infrastructure. It was pathetic.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is going hand in hand, is the fact that this African politician is reading this speech, and for someone who doesn't know what is going on in the background, you don't see the from the say the Western side or the Canadian side. You can't put two and two together to say, why is this woman talking about this now? Why are we talking about the destigmatization of abortion in a country where there's so much poverty and there's still so much need, and there are still so many people being internally displaced by the wars that have been going on in that country and the difficulties that have been going on in the country? So it just goes to show you, Matt, that those who are putting in a lot of efforts, they're putting in taxpayer dollars from the West, and they are trying to bring in these propagandas to African countries. Some of them are actually trying to make inroads. And yes, we see them making inroads if care is not taken. It's just for people to know that it's not just this Minister for Gender and Children and Family Affairs. It's not just her idea to just come up and start saying, let's do this. She has been told to do that. And even the article that I sent to you were the one that pointed out to me that not only is this woman reading the speech and all, but the entire article was written by IPAS. I mean, this is a press report that was written up by IPAS. So it's almost like they are writing these things up. They are giving it to politicians. They're trying to get them to, when you get your 10 minutes to speak at this important forum, make sure you are talking about the 14th article or the Article 14 of the Maputo Protocol. Make sure you are talking about us not delivering on the abortion promises. And then they go away, and the IPAS people head to Canada, and they take money from there. So this is almost like, it's almost like organized crime in the background. I mean, they go from one country to another. They go from a wealthy country, take money, and then they go to a poorer country and try to achieve the goals that have been set by these propaganda chasing countries and politicians,
That's right. And who
like
gets rich,
Canada and
Uju?
Justin
Who gets
Trudeau.
rich? IPAS
The
gets
Western
rich.
ones. Yeah.
The IPAS
Yeah.
gets rich. IPPF
Absolutely.
gets rich.
Yeah.
Amnesty International gets rich. And guess what? They don't need the money. They don't need the
No,
money. They
they get
you look at
funds.
their annual budgets and their operational budgets. I was looking at IPAS's annual report the other day from 2022, I think.
Yeah.
They have plenty of assets and cash on hand as an organ, as a company. They do not need Canadian tax dollars to do their
Yeah.
dirty business. They don't need
Yeah.
it. But
Yeah.
it goes to show you with it's all about the whole kind of virtue signaling. It's Justin Trudeau talking about, look, we're spending all this money to help women.
Yeah.
And really what they're doing is they're just killing their babies.
They are.
But it helps. It helps with the elections. It helps with messaging and branding. And the same, you know, you keep going after Canada, Uju, but in case you didn't notice that picture of the little press conference they had in the Congo, there's a backdrop behind the minister and all the different delegates. There's also a UK flag there, Uju. So it's not
Yeah,
just.
I mean, there's UK, there's Sweden, there is, you know, even the United States. For those who don't know, the Mexico City policy that had been a huge point of battle when President Trump had signed it in back in the day, and then they had stopped funding. IPAS was actually one of the few organizations that were defunded by that policy. And now, of course, since Joe Biden came in years ago, they have long since had access to the huge, you know, pot of cash that the US government has to give them. So, as you say, many people are involved in this.
That's right. Many people are, a
Yeah.
lot of stakeholders
So.
involved, and who's getting duped? Well, it's the taxpayer getting duped, but more so, who's getting actually harmed? Well,
The
it's the
African
women, the African
countries, yeah,
countries.
the African countries are getting harmed because whereas this politician, this high-ranking cabinet member from DRC could have highlighted so many amazing things. Imagine how many girls she could have got a scholarship from just from that one speech, you know, from making an appeal. Well, imagine how many hospitals she could have made an appeal for them to help improve. But she uses her 2 minutes of fame. And then what does she talk about? She talks about bringing in, kind of implementing particularly the Article 14
Yeah.
of the Maputo Protocol.
And
It's a shame.
I would say, and instead of using her 2 minutes of fame to say something that she believes in, she just
Yes.
is given a statement from IPAS and then she just
Yep.
reads it out word for word. And
Simple. That's
that
it.
is exactly how the whole world works when it comes to this foreign funding of abortion. It's
Yeah.
not just the Western company, the Western organizations and the governments funding all of this. They're also writing the statements for all the local politicians.
They are.
They're telling them what to say, how to
Yeah.
act, what to
Yeah.
do,
Yeah.
and that's the reality, folks. That's the reality.
Whoever pays the piper, yeah, dictates
Exactly.
the tune. So it's like who pays the piper? It's gonna say this is the song you have to play for us. So it's all happening, Matt. Wow. Wow, we have discussed all kinds of things. We've gone around the world.
Let's not forget, it's still the Sacred Heart of Jesus month of June.
It is still the Sacred Heart of Jesus Month. I just wanted to kind of mention a few of the Ugandan matters that I had wanted to mention just so that as people are going away, they can also look them up or learn about their lives. I mean, these are saints that not many people are talking about. I know a lot of Americans particularly know about Charles Lwanga, and they love Charles Lwanga. So he's one of the saints. He was, in fact, one of kind of the ringleaders of the Page Boys. But there was Ludigo Mukasa, Andrew Kagwa, Bruno Serukuma, John Mary Muzeyi, Baby Kizito, who was the youngest of the saints, and he was so courageous and so strong in martyrdom, just only about 13 years old. There was Jaivira Musoke, there was Matthias Mulumba, Ponciano Ndongwe, Mbaga Tuzinde, Luke Banabakintu. So there's 22 of them. I can't name them all, but these were great martyrs, just amazing, courageous men of faith who were courageous back in the days, but they can also set an example for us. Each and every one of us can be as courageous as these men who went right to the very end defending what was right. So yeah, that's what I learned by going to Uganda years ago to be part of this pilgrimage for the Ugandan saints. So I hope that encourages everyone.
And
But
we'll definitely put some links in the show
for
notes so that
sure.
you can do some more research, learn about the Ugandan martyrs, learn about the Manitoba Bubble Zone, the Scotland Bubble Zone,
Sure.
this whole IPAS situation. We'll send you links. And I think that's about it, Uju. I think we can
That's
wrap
it.
this show up, this episode 3 of season 2. And
Oh,
again,
wonderful.
for those of you who are new to the show, you can go to Focus on Life podcast.com and that website, our website, it has all the previous episodes on there. We're available on all this, you know, all the podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, all that stuff. I can't even, I forgot all the different platforms, but I'm sure if you just Google Focus on Life podcast, and just like Google Uju as well, it'll show up as
Oh,
one of
for
the first
goodness
hits.
sake.
If you need to email us, if you have any comments or questions or feedback, focusonlifepodcast@gmail.com. And that's a wrap. Uju, any final
That's it.
comments?
That's it, really. Just be courageous. Be like Justin Martyr. Be like the Ugandan martyrs. Be like Saint Peter and Paul. Okay, not those Peter when he was sleeping back in the days, but the Peter who died for the faith. Okay, so be courageous enough. This is the month of June. This is the month I think when Christians should learn not pride but courage.
Amen.
Yeah, let's remain focused on life.